Excellent. Well, good morning again. And for those who don't know, my name is Sean Booth. Should have done that earlier. The pastor here along with my wife, Gillian. And we are also getting ready for the 5th of April. You see in your seats, there's so many things on your seats. I know you're way down. And on your seats, you'll see a flyer, our 2020 celebration. We are celebrating 20 years as a church in Kildare and 2 years as a church here in Dublin. So we're gathering together at the Red Cow Moran Hotel. We took over the entire conference center on the 5th of April at 11:30. We want to encourage you to be there, invite your friends, invite your family. It's going to be a great celebration. We've got kids' church going to be happening there also. And then our kids are going to join us for a portion of the ceremony also, because myself and Gillian are going to be taking over the leadership of Open Arms as a whole in both locations. So my parents started the church in Newbridge County Kildare 20 years ago this April, and we have the honor of taking over the leadership. So that means that we're going to be rooted and planted here in Dublin, as we always have been from day one, but we're going to be overseeing through the leadership and our pastors in Newbridge, and we're really officially coming together, two churches together as one church. And it's just exciting to see all that God is doing. And we know that this moment is going to be a momentous time in the history of our nation. 1,000 people gathering together for the very first time for a church service in one service, which is just incredible. And I know it's just the beginning of what God's going to do in this next 20 years. Amen? So just want to encourage you to mark that in your diaries. But today, we're continuing in our series, United for Purpose. This is week 8, and we're building up for our 5th of April, our 20-year celebration. And I'm really excited today to speak to you. There's not that I'm not always excited, but there's a particular higher level of excitement today, because I was looking through this scripture, and we're going to read it together in a few moments. And as I read it, it's like, you got to swallow, because there's some deep stuff in here that you talk about, like sexual immorality and gossip and all the nice things that preachers love talking about. And well, this is great. You got to follow the word of God. You got to speak it. But I really felt like God gave me a revelation in it, being able to see it. And so I'm just excited to bring that to you today. And I want to encourage you to take notes. Say this every week. Take notes. This is a time where we're receiving, firstly, the knowledge of the word of God, but we can also receive the revelation of God through his presence. So if you're in need of inspiration today, motivation for God just to do something new, this is the moment. So grasp it. And so beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, the scriptures will be on the screen, verses 1 through 20, where Paul, the apostle Paul, is writing this to the church in Ephesus, and he begins in verse 1. Follow God's example. We could stop right there, take that, and go home. Follow God's example. That is so important. Today we've been singing about I am who you say I am, and we've been worshiping God, the way maker, the miracle worker, the one who is over everything. Therefore, as dearly loved children, that is our identity. We are loved children of God, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live. That is important today. It is important to be careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The title of my message today is Walking in the Way of Love. Here we see Paul has said, be careful how you live. And he calls us to walk in the way of love. He begins in verse 1, as we've seen, follow God's example as dearly loved children and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave his life for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Then he begins to describe what it looks like to walk in the way of love. What it looks like to live this way and love like Jesus. And ultimately, how to be children of God, how to be followers of Jesus, how to live our lives as Christians. And then in the next 18 verses after verse 2, he then gives us instructions and lays out very clear and explicit rules, explicit do's and don'ts. And today I want to begin by giving you two lists, a list of don'ts and a list of do's. Now, don't worry, this is not all about do this and don't do this. But at the same time, we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay? If you've got the context of Ephesians, you see that we've been saved by grace. It's by God's grace, and we thank God for that. But also, God calls us to live according to his word. He also calls us to live upright, to pursue righteousness, to pursue living a life that is moral, that is ethical. Should it be our sole focus? No, our sole focus should be Jesus Christ. He should be the one, our example. He's the one that we look towards. But at the same time, Paul here is giving us what it looks like to walk in the way of love. And he begins by giving us a list of don'ts. I want to share with you the list of don'ts is to set the premise that this is what it looks like. And then I want to focus on how we can live this way. And then I want to look at why God encourages us to live this way. You see, the why will reinforce how we are to do what he's calling us to do and what it looks like to be who he is calling us to be, which is to be more like Jesus. But beginning with the don'ts, firstly, he says, don't engage in sexual immorality or impurity. Don't allow your love to turn into lust. Don't be led by raging hormones, giving into sexual temptation and allowing sexual urges to overcome you. But rather, resist the urge and don't engage with it. This is both single people and married people. We're all facing that. Paul is saying, don't engage with sexual immorality or impurity. Why? Because it's going to mess up your life. Not because he wants to restrict you from enjoying good things. He wants to do this so that you would live with purity. You live with morality, and you will enjoy sex in the context that God has given it to us for you. Number two, don't engage in covetousness. This is to desire what others have in a way that causes you to be greedy, to want what you don't have. It is to have a desire to possess and to be possessed with a desire. It is when you long to have someone or to be someone or to have something in an unhealthy way that causes you to covet or to be greedy. Number three, don't engage in foul or foolish talk. Don't be participating in filthiness and foolish talk or crude humor. And he says, in one translation, it says, stay away from gossip. The Message translation says, though some tongues love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Number four, don't participate in sinful behavior. Don't partner with those who are living disobediently to God. Now, it doesn't say don't associate with them. This is where we get this wrong sometimes. But rather, don't participate with the sinful behavior with them. Meaning, if some people are doing something that's wrong, well, don't do that with them. You know what's great is that God gives us the Holy Spirit that convicts us. As we know when we're in that situation. We know when we're in that environment. We say, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. My friends may be doing this, but I've got to remove myself from this. I may be in this situation, but I need to run away right now because this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. Doesn't mean that I can't love my friends. Doesn't mean that I can't communicate with them or associate them. But when they're going to do that, I can't be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Number five, don't take part in works of darkness. But he says, but rather expose them. D.L. Moody, a famous theologian and preacher, he says, character is what you are in the dark. That is so true. When you don't think anybody is looking, when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, we almost think it's in the dark, that God can't see us somehow. When we turn the light off, it's like he can't see us anymore. And he's like, I wonder what's going on down there. It sounds a bit dodgy, but I wonder what's happening. But rather, in the dark, God is with us. In the light, God is with us. Character is what when you are when no one is looking. And Paul says, but rather expose those things. Talk about those things. Confess those things. Get help for those things. If you're living in sin or you've been done wrong, don't allow shame to grip you. Talk about that, because I guarantee you the one you probably talked to has already dealt with it or is dealing with it. And instead, the message says, wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. Number six, don't get drunk and commit sin. You may say, well, I don't drink wine, as it says here. In fact, I don't drink alcohol, but this includes everything that causes your judgment to be impaired, both legal and illegal. From marijuana to unhealthy use of prescription medication. It's allowing yourself to be controlled by another substance that will cause you to commit sin rather than to be self-controlled, rather to be sober and alert. It's not the alcohol that's a sin. It's what the alcohol, when overuse of, can lead us to do. You hear me? That's what it is. So Paul is not saying here, you know, he's calling us to go move out into the country, to live without electricity, stay away from alcohol, stay away from sinners, you know, just in case somehow, you know, it's going to infect you. No, he's saying we need to live within this place, but being upright. Being able to associate and love those who may be engaging in sinful behavior, but not participating with it. This is where we need to get the balance as Christians, that this is how we are to live our lives. Now we've got rid of the don'ts, right? That's okay. You can relax for a moment. Here he has the list of do's, and it begins with this. Imitate God. Follow God's example and imitate him in everything you do. The Amplified Translation says, be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. In other words, ask in every situation and every scenario, how would God treat others? How would he respond? How would he react? How would he love? You see, he's calling us to reflect who God is. That's what it means to imitate. It is to reflect who God is. It is to respond to others how God has responded to us out of love. Here's the second thing. Walk in the way of love. This is our focus for today, that when we live a lifestyle of love, living as generous and affectionate people, seeking to serve and invest in others. It is being full of love for others just as Christ loves us and gave his life for us. Number three, live as children of light. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. The Living Bible says, for though once your heart was full of darkness, now it is full of light from the Lord, and your behavior should show it. This means living in the light, revealing our struggles and our sins to other Christians and being honest with one another. That's what living in the light means. It means no longer hiding in the dark, but bringing it out into light. It means saying to someone else, here's what's going on, really. Here's where I'm failing. Here's where I'm struggling. I don't want to hide anymore. I want to bring this to light. I need help. I need support. I need accountability. I need Jesus, and I need Jesus' people. We need Jesus and his people and his church to help us to live as children of light. Number four, discern what pleases God. The NIV says, find out what pleases the Lord. The Living Bible says, learn as you go along. The Message says, figure out what will please Christ and then do it. This means for us as Christians, it's no longer asking the question, what do I want? But rather it's asking the question, Lord, what do you want? Lord, what should I do and what should I not do? Lord, what way should I speak and use my words, and what way shouldn't I? What way should I give and steward my finances, and what way shouldn't I not do this? It's saying, God, what do you want? And so often we decide what we want and we ask God to get behind it. So often we discern the decision that we want to make and the opportunity that we want to take, and we say, God, I really hope that you would make this work. God, I really hope that you would make this happen. But instead, we need to rather spend time in prayer with God and discern, which means figuring out and finding out. It's a little bit of seek and search. Search and rescue. Are we always going to know, right, God, what do you want me to do? All right, okay, yeah, let's go do this. It's an inkling. It's a sense. And the more you spend time with him, the more you will be able to discern and find out. And Paul, in one scripture, he says this, it seems to me that the Holy Spirit is leading me this way. It's not complete confidence and confirmation, but it seems to me, why? Because I've spent time with God and I have a sense that this is what God is doing. But it's discerning what pleases God and then obeying him. Number five, walk as a wise person. The Amplified translates this, live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. How do we receive wisdom? Ultimately, firstly, we receive wisdom from God's word. We can read books such as Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. We can read the Gospels, learning all about Jesus, the wisest man who ever lived, who ever spoke, and many of his words are here and how to live like him. And we receive wisdom from the Spirit of God, by being in his presence, by pursuing him, by going after the things of God to know him more and to grow deeper in him. And we ask him for his wisdom and his discernment. My dad, one of the first things he ever told me to ask for is ask for wisdom and favor. Every single day I ask God, give me wisdom and give me favor. And maybe slowly over time as he pours that out and he reveals that, you become a wiser person who can discern the things of God and receive his favor and blessing more in your life because you've been asking for it. Number six, make the most of your time. Make the most of every opportunity you have for doing good, living obediently, and fulfilling God's calling on your life. The Message translation says, so watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get, because these are desperate times. Time is limited. We don't know when it's going to be taken away from us, so we need to use our time wisely. Some stats, the average secondary school student, by the time they graduate, will have spent more time watching television than attending school. The average single male, this probably goes under the age of 30, spends between 3 and 4 hours a day playing video games. The average person, this is everyone, spends on average 3 hours and 15 minutes a day scrolling and texting on their phone. In fact, out of that, it is estimated that 2 hours a day is spent on social media looking at the lives of others. God has given us all the time we need, right? We do not need more time. We just need to make the most of the time that he's given us. Make the most of every opportunity that he gives us. Number seven, be filled with the Spirit. The Amplified says, be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. That means be filled to overflowing, being full of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to empower you and enable you to be like Jesus and be obedient in walking in the way of love. The Living Bible, in the entire context, it says this, don't drink too much wine, for many evils lie along that path, but be filled instead with the Holy Spirit and be controlled by him. But I don't want anyone else to control me. I like controlling me. I like having control. Paul says, if you want to be controlled by another substance or by yourself and your own wishes and wants, be controlled by the Holy Spirit, because he was the one that will lead you down the path, not towards evil, but towards goodness. He will lead you down the path to where a path that you could never decide and walk on your own. But when you're led by the Holy Spirit, he will lead you to where God is calling you to. And if you're struggling with your problems, don't run to yourself or to substances to escape from your problems, but turn to the Spirit of God and be led by him. Number eight, sing in worship to God. Passionate worship. Now, I know it can be hard, especially in our culture of Ireland, and because we're so quiet and nice and somber. And if you're from a different country and you're with us today, we already know when you walked in the country, you were becoming Irish, because you're becoming into the land of the Emerald Isle. And with that, we can sometimes worship but a little bit like this. And Paul's saying we need to be passionate in worship, because when we're filled with the Spirit, listen, it inspires us to worship God. It inspires us to raise our hands in worship, to say, God, I'm so grateful for you. I don't care about the person who I'm punching in the side of the face, but I want to passionately worship you. I'm here in this moment. This is my time right now to worship you in the presence of God. He says, sing songs, lift your voice for all he's done and all he's doing. The Message translation says, sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master Jesus Christ. As Irish people, singing is in our DNA. It's within us. We don't need an excuse. Oftentimes, many people need a drink to sing, but we need to sing passionately with worshiping God. Amen. Amen. I hope I'm not on my own with that one. Number nine. And finally, give thanks to God. The Amplified says, at all times, for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Giving thanks is to live a life with an attitude of gratitude. Being so grateful to God for his goodness and his grace in our lives. And I'm telling you, living gratefully changes how you see yourself and how you see the world. I don't need any more. I'm grateful for what I have. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I'm alive and I'm healthy. So grateful that I have a family. So grateful that I have a job, that I have a home, that I've got clothes on my back and got warmth all around me. I'm so grateful. Everything else is a bonus. So that is a lot, isn't it? I know that. It's like 15 points right there. And I want to encourage, don't get overwhelmed, right? This is not a sermon about being so moralistic and legalistic, where God is almost watching your every move and he's watching you see what you do and what you don't do. But this is what it looks like to walk in the way of love. This is the practical living out of a Christian, and what it looks like to live a life that's modeled after the life of Jesus. And there's so many more do's and don'ts. If you read the first few books of the Bible, there's over 600 rules and commandments. Thank you, Lord, that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to save us by his grace, to not save us because of what we've done or what we're going to do or what we do, because of what he has done. Amen. Right? We need to get that so true and deep in our knowledge. But at the same time, we're also called to live as children of light, as followers of Jesus, a people who are living according to biblical principles and living according to God's word. Now the question is how? How are we to walk this way? And here it is. Focus on God rather than focusing on yourself. Focus on who he is and commit to becoming more like him. You know, it's our theology that informs our activity. It's our understanding of who God is that allows us to discover who we are and how we should live our life. The Living Bible translates verse 1. Follow God's example in everything you do, just as a much-loved child imitates his father. The Message translation says, watch what God does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. One translation says that we are to be imitators of God. that we're to focus on Him and not ourselves. So that is the how we complete the what, but why? Why must we do this? Well, the answer is found between verse 1 and verse 20. Verse 1 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our Father, and we are His children. This is our identity as Christians. God is our Father, and we are His loved children, His loved sons, His loved daughters. And a son or daughter who is dearly loved by their dad naturally wants to be like their dad, to imitate their dad, to follow in their footsteps. And a father who dearly loves his children will first model what it looks like to walk in the way of love. And that is found in the perfect example of Jesus walking this earth and giving his life for us. And a loving father wants his children to walk obediently according to a set of principles, which we looked at last week, 10 principles to live by, but also a clear set of do's and don'ts, setting healthy boundaries, instilling practical wisdom inside of us to equip his sons and daughters to grow as healthy and strong men and women of God who know their identity and pursue their purpose. So therefore, what is God calling us to do? He's calling us to walk in the way of love. How has He given us how are we supposed to do this? Focusing on who He is, committing to be like Him. Why? Because He is our Father, and we are His children. And as any loved son or daughter wants, they want to be like their dad. I'm going to invite the keys, Blake, to come back on the keys. He's throwing me now. I know the keyboard's there. It's the same thing I say every week for some reason. Like I say, close your heads and bow your eyes. But God's heart is a father's heart. A loving father. He doesn't have an earthly father's heart. I know this is hard to comprehend. He doesn't have an earthly father's heart. He is our heavenly Father. That means He is the perfect Father. Our tendency is to view God our Father through the lens of our own father, who he was or who he wasn't. This can really impact our relationship with God, and it can impact our willingness to walk in the way of love. It can often cause us to live rebellious, as a rebellious son or daughter is to their own dad. When children have a father who loves them, they want to be like them. So the change in activity and the change in behavior begins with a change in identity. It begins with a belief that I am a child of God. He is my Father and He loves me. Then it allows us to be able to say, do you know why I don't do that? In fact, do you know why I don't want to do that? And do you know why I do want to do this? Because I have a Father who loves me and I want to be like my Father. I want to imitate Him because He is a good Father. He is a loving Father, and I trust that He wants the best for me. So therefore, I'm going to follow after Him. I'm going to walk in the way of love. I'm going to obey Him in His every command so that I can be more like Him. And I know today that there are so many of us here that see God our Father through the lens of our own father, through the lens of our earthly father, who may have been an absent father, who may have been a failure, but maybe who was a father who was present, but rather, still then we even have our own doubts and concerns and longing for love. And I believe that God wants to give you a revelation that He is the one true Father. He is your loving Father that you can trust and that you can obey. You see, often we try and live our lives by a set of do's and don'ts. We always come to a place where we miss the mark. We receive still not that quiet acceptance that we're looking for. We still feel like a failure and disappointment. Life is not about living to a clear set of do's and don'ts. Life as a Christian is about following after our Father, knowing that He loves us and aiming to be more like Him and to be more like Jesus as He gave us as the perfect example. The only way we can do that is allowing Him to give us a new view of Him. And I know with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I know there's so many of you here today and you need Jesus and you need the Holy Spirit that can be found when you give your life to Jesus to empower you, to release you, to live by His grace and not by your strength. I want to give you the opportunity today, everyone here, to give your life to Jesus, to place your faith in Him. So with everyone's head bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you an opportunity. And all I'm asking you to do is just to raise your hand with me. And I'm going to count to three. And just raise your hand and I'm just going to pray together. But it's a moment, a significant moment of surrendering to Jesus. Jesus, I need help. I'm struggling. Can't do this. Maybe you've never made this decision. Maybe this is something that you've been a Christian for many, many years. But you need to come back to that place. Jesus, I need to give my life to you once again. I encourage you to make that decision right now. After one, two, three, just raise your hands with me and say, that's it. I want to give my life to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else here today, you say, that's it. Just raise your hand with me and say, I want to give my life. Thank you. You can put down your hands. And I just want to ask everyone together, can we just pray this day and say, Jesus, I need you. Struggling. I have sin, I have shame, I have guilt, and I need your forgiveness. I believe that by your grace, I am saved, I am forgiven, I am set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise this morning for those people making that decision.